Third Coast Digest is brought to you in part by 91.7 FM, WMSC Frontier Radio.
These are what I call a couple of cautionary tales. I knew this cat named 22. He's 22. Keep a 22. Best believe dude be at his money too. He whip an old school vehicle on 22s that flip from faint green to funny blue. Now sun is bubbling and ain't watching his back and the streets is mumbling. People want to snatch the rug from under him. It ain't funny, but he rapping these days to clean his money up and still pay the fiends to dummy up when the cops come through. Money is the flu. While you trying to catch it, he be in the club with Chrissy like Jack and Janet. Authentic ball jerseys with the hat to match it. Chains frozen like the winter games. This dude's a classic. A loudmouth. He's disrespecting the vets and people done found out. And loaded up texts and headed down south with plans to hurt him. Call thick Brenda. She could divert him. And while he's sleepwalking, we gon' murk him. Just like that. 22 got thick Brenda back to his flat. He's about to blow out her back, but it's a trap. He begged for his life and offered his work. But instead, them cats red poking out of his shirt. Eyes open, mouth closed, face down in the dirt. And thick Brenda walked away with a smirk. That's gotta hurt. I knew this girl named Kimberly. Kimberly Kennedy. But if you ask, she gon' say she don't remember me. She was the coldest little dame in the vicinity. Cold enough to freeze frame a dude's memory. Now back in the days when young ladies were slimmies, Kimmy was a dime. Now she just pennies. She used to blur the line between being a flirt and being friendly. She used to be thick, but now she just, eh. Kid after kid, by dudes doing bid after bid. But on the first, the check looked big. You know how it is. She was a AFDC bunny. And every month she splurged at the mall with free money. Hair done every week, nails done every other. Coach bags with belts to match in every color. She kept her shorties in the costliest clothes and rocked gold on her ears, her neck, her fingers, and nose. But Tommy Thompson bought trouble to boot. He took away the alphabet and left W-2. Now it's a cold world, and even colder when it starts snowing. With no dough, she started hoeing. She said, buy the Gucci and how to pay less. High to the track and buy the safe sex. In school, she never really gave it her best, but not shorty stay stressed trying to pass her AIDS test.
Damian Smith, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
That's good. We also have, besides you, we have Alex James. Say hello so they know your voice. Get on.
How you doing? How you doing?
Good. And Hannah Moore, you're here too, and we'll hear from you later on. Damian, that's wonderful. You read it. Is it written down somewhere?
At one point, it was written down. It's actually just a spoken word version of a song that was recorded. There's a very fine line I often talk about between poetry and song lyrics. The only thing that's missing really is the music. So those were actually lyrics from a song.
Okay. A song that you wrote?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Yeah. We should say what you guys are all doing here. You teach spoken word at COA at the Golden Center?
Correct. Correct. Okay. That's one of the programs that we offer, spoken word poetry, right, helping to get their creative juices flowing. And
well, I mean, you can hear when you recite it, when you read it, when you do it, when you perform it. I mean, you can hear the music in it. I mean, the percussion is real clear. The rhythm and the little bitty rhymes that just sort of pop along without calling attention to themselves. And certainly not the way the couplet at the end of a Italian sonnet calls attention to itself. I mean, they're just internal and just pop, 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 pop. It just, which is great. I mean, that's the music of it. But it sounds like it's written to be performed. It is to be like a song. You're to do it in front of people.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, Alex, how long have you been at the COA, working at the Golden Center, working with Damian, learning to do this?
I work in a different area at COA. I'm a preteen group leader, and I haven't really worked with him as in what he does, like teaching the kids how to do that. I've never really received any actual teaching on what I do.
Well, where did you get it from?
Life what experience?
Life experience. But did you think? I mean, a lot of people have a life experience, and some people express themselves by different ways. But this is a very positive, very constructive way to express what's going on inside of you and what you're experiencing.
It's therapy for me. It's therapy.
I think in a lot of ways, all artistic expression is therapeutic in that it's just sort of moving stuff through you and out to other people and then back through you. It's a big circle. But what inspired you to get started doing this? And do you participate in poetry slams? Do you do the competitions?
Actually, I do. When we had it, I was doing open mics there at COA. Like at church, I've done like Mother's Day poems and stuff like that. I've always been into music and writing and stuff. And I've been doing this since I was about probably 8. But back then, I wasn't talking about nothing, just trying to rhyme. But right. It really inspired me just to, you know, it's just, why not? I have the gift. Why not?
Do you think that it comes out of rap or out of hip-hop, the idea of spoken word? Or is there any relationship between rap music and what rap is and what spoken word is?
See, rap plays a part in my, because I can't sing.
I think spoken word, poetry, maybe bebop and jazz begat hip-hop.
Okay.
So I think hip-hop would be the son or daughter of that.
Of that marriage between jazz and spoken word.
And kind of improvisational kind of thing with people who freestyle. Some people just come off the top of their heads and just say things that rhyme together.
Right. Well, that was the other question I was going to ask the two of you is, do you write everything down before you perform it and work it out and rehearse it?
Before I perform, yeah, I would say I'll write, but I can freestyle a little bit.
Yeah.
I've went to the studio and freestyled. I actually have a mixtape out. Doing My Thing, Volume 1. It has 5 tracks. 4 of them are written, and the 5th one is a freestyle. So, yeah, okay. I tend to freestyle a little bit.
Are there separate competitions where you're asked to freestyle only?
Oh, no, I do what I feel.
You do what I feel, coming on. Okay. And Hannah, what about you?
I basically just write everything. I think about it first, though, before I write it.
Think it out and write it, and then do you go back and rewrite it?
No, I just write it.
Well, now, once you've written something and then performed it, do you go back and revise it?
No. Okay. I just leave it.
You let it be.
Yeah.
It was it? Do you perform it again ever?
Yeah.
Yeah? So you get one you like, and you'll work it over again.
Mm-hmm.
Does it change in performance for you? Does it change how you feel about it, or do you just stand up and do it the same way every time?
No, I do it differently sometimes, because sometimes I could be feeling a different way. So say it however I feel I should say it.
Right. And where did you start learning how to do it?
From my mom. Well, yeah. She used to go to like poetry clubs, and she used to bring me along to see like what it would be like. And I got an experience when I was younger. Like, I performed once and I liked it. So I just started turning to her and asking her to help me out a little bit. And then from there, I just thought of stuff on my own. I just wrote it.
That's good. See, what I'm learning when I started talking to poets and spoken word artists on this podcast, I didn't realize that poetry was as much a part of the fabric of society, of the culture, as I'm finding out that it is. Because the way when I listened to you talk about, you got it from your mom, it passed on, and you started doing it, and when you teach it, I mean, I'm realizing that it's obviously very much a part of your lives, but it also seems to be very much a part of your culture, of where you live and what you think about. I mean, do people see, when I grew up, if you were a poet, people teased you. They'd give you a hard time. No, but you're not that. You don't get that. There's respect in it. Is that correct?
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter who likes it or who doesn't like it.
I think it's very personal on a lot of levels. Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. It is very personal. I do it for me, you know.
Right. You do it for
I will
you.
Give it to you, but at the end of the day, I do it for me.
Okay. That's very honest. That's good. So do you think, as this is another one of the things, and you, both of you are, how old are you?
I'm 16.
16?
I'm 19.
And you're 19. You're probably in the economic system by now, and you're probably about to end. Do you have a job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. You're in the economic system too then. Is there any commerce, I mean, is there in what you do? You do it for yourself alone, but is there any likelihood or any thought in your mind that there might be at some point a commercial or economic reward for doing it?
Oh, sometimes I think about it, like when my parents try to encourage me to go farther with it, like put it on the internet or something or say it somewhere, but I never think about it because I just think it's something to do for fun. I never thought about getting anything for it.
It does. I know from being an actor, I've been an actor all my life, and I know as soon as you put money on it, or as soon as you put yourself in a position of, I'm going to try to feed my face with this, mm-hmm. It does change it. There's a new obligation. But it's an interesting obligation because it forces you to think about it in a different way, but I think it can improve the work too, because it becomes something for it right now, as you say, it's for you, but it does become something for other people.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a conversation. in a way, which is an interesting thing as you grow older. And I mean, I'm not suggesting that you do it, but it's interesting that you already are thinking about it, because it's valuable to write it down and to put it. As I was saying to somebody else, I did a poem for on here on this podcast, and I asked him, is there a place that's written down? Because I thought it was a very moving poem, and I would like to read it to my son. And that's one of the things you get if you take it to that commercial place, is you get it so that it exists even after you're gone, in a way, which you don't have to think about that yet. Alex, would you do a piece for us now?
Yes. What I'll do is only a verse, one verse from a song I did on the mixtape. I titled it My Life Story, but this is how it goes. It goes, my life story should be up in the history books, and it's going to tell people everywhere to never give up. And when the going get tough, keep your head and chin up, because only the strong survive. So work on your chin ups. Forget the people who said you'll never make it. And when they say that you a failure, tell them they got you mistaken. Because success is the best revenge. And I've been double crossed and lied on by the best of friends. Homeboys who was next to kin left me hanging. But listen, that's just more fuel for my engine. And did I mention? What don't kill you make you stronger, so this soldier gonna keep marching till they put me in my coffin. I got them exhausted, cause they can't hold me down. Nuh-uh, sweetheart, I'm bout mine. I just moved today, y'all. My new crib is cloud nine. I was born to win. Hey, and I ain't trying to sound arrogant, but I confront the bottom and I'm not trying to go there again. So like I said before, my life story should be up in the history books, and it's going to tell people everywhere to never give up. And when the going get tough, keep your head and chin up, because only the strong survive. So work on your chin ups.
Very nice. That's
appreciate
good.
Appreciate it.
Good. I mean, I understand the personal nature of it, but at the same time, that's also in the area of being political, because there's a message there. There's something you're trying to say, not just about yourself, but you're trying to say that to other people, mm-hmm. which grows it up a little bit. Now, where do you get a chance to perform at COA?
Mm-hmm. That was the COA was probably the biggest audience I actually did some music in front of. I think it was the first time. So that's really, and I did it about 3-4 times. And after that, I just felt like, you know, I could do it at the Madison Square Garden. But yeah, that was the first time at COA.
It felt good. It feels good, doesn't it, doing it in front of people? Yeah. And you did it with, did you do that song or that?
Yeah, I did that verse, but now I have a full song to that.
Right.
I only had that part at first, but now I have a full song.
Did you do it with music behind
it? No, I did it a cappella.
Just that, you're the music. Mm-hmm. Right, okay, good. Because it works as you being the music. Are there other places to perform?
Probably, but I don't go.
Like, you don't
I
go?
I just go to COA.
For older age groups, there are places to perform. However, at 16, you know, when you're at that awkward stage, not all the way, you know, an adult, you kind of get shortchanged sometimes.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're
yeah.
old enough to go to the service, but you can't buy alcohol. You know what I mean? You're
right.
kind of,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
But
there are a lot of, you're still a kid.
Right. There are a lot of venues for adults to perform. I think that there's a growing sentiment that younger people need places, need venues in order to express themselves, and I think that's happening.
Right. Good. Yeah, well, it certainly is happening at places like the COA and the Golden Center, places like that.
Right.
I hope it's happening. I sense that it is happening other places, because that's the kind of craziness of everybody thinking that all of a sudden when you're 21 or 18 or something like that, all of a sudden you're a grown-up and all of a sudden you're part of the economy. But but you got to get there somewhere, and you got to get that – you got to get – exposed to it and exposure and do it in front of people. Well, good. You're doing a good job over there. Now, Hannah, will you take us out with something? I know you've been looking at your notebook there. You got a lot of choices.
Yeah.
Did you pick something?
Yes. I wrote this because I was having, like, trouble, so I just thought about God, and I wrote a poem about God. And the title is The Love I Have. I just discovered love in a place I didn't know it was. It came from outer space, hit me right in my face. I was just too blind to see the love from him to me, looking for love when I had it all along, through poetry, through scripture, and even through song. This love was unnormal for me, and even too blurry for an unbeliever to see. The love I have is great. I'm glad I got right with him before it was too late. There is no man on earth who can love me like he does. I'm trying to get my life right, trying to make it like it was. He is my first love, my true love. He would never leave me. He is the one who opened my eyes and let me see the future is not promised to you or me. I gave myself to him, and he has set and he accepts me for me, not who I was or who I'm trying to be. You see, that's all I wanted, was for him to accept me, and now that he has, it's time to do my part. Not only give him my mind, but also my heart. To love him and cherish him every day. To worship him, and when I'm down, to always pray. Don't put anyone before him, because he's most important. Obey his commands and praise him with my actions, not my hands. Just be who I am and do what I can, because no one is perfect besides him. He is the Most High, and I know when I'm down to look up at the sky. He will always be there to listen and to care. I trust him and believe one day he will deliver me.
That's like a prayer by itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very nice. Thank you. Thank you. Keep writing. Well, it's nice. I think it's good. I think it's good to write every day if you can.
Yeah.
Just to keep it working. Thank you all for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no, that's all right. My pleasure. Thanks a lot.